Nuketown Radioactive number 41 for Thursday, December 7th, 2006.
You must be listening to the Goblin Broadcast Network at gbn.com. Amazing!
Welcome to the early morning edition of Nuketown Radioactive, the occasional podcast about life, liberty, and the pursuit of geekdom. It's early morning because, once again, my children have been conspiring to make sure that Sue and I get as little sleep as possible. Somehow, even with Sue's mom over helping us, we were all up at 5:30 this morning, which is actually an improvement because for the last couple of weeks, we've been getting very little sleep because Luke just has not been sleeping through the night. This is because the baby has been either teething, sick, or both for the last 3 weeks. I think we've had maybe 4 good nights sleep in the last month. And it's just been, you know, trying, exhausting, just, you know, it's what you normally get from being, you know, a new parent. Even the second time around, you know, you still end up having to deal with all the sleep deprivation and all of that. So this is why, you know, the schedule continues to be somewhat erratic with regards to when the podcast comes out. It's the will is strong, but the body is weak. And at 9:30, it starts to feel like it's really getting past my bedtime, especially when I know that there's a pretty good chance I'm going to be up at 3 a.m. playing Hexic on my Xbox 360 with Luke. For those of you who don't know, Hexic is kind of a puzzle game, vaguely, I don't want to say it's like Tetris, but the idea is that you're trying to match patterns to get these little hexes to disappear, and then you get points for it. And it's very easy to play with one hand on the Xbox controller when you've got a baby in the other, and this ends up being Luke's equivalent of how I used to play Warcraft 3 all the time with Jordan. Because back in the day, I do remember this, and if you go to Nuketown and do a search on Jordan, I'm sure you would find a lot of posts talking about me being up at 2, 3 a.m. with Jordy and playing Warcraft. With Luke, you know, the Xbox just ends up being a little bit easier. You get downstairs, you power it up, and then you go. So I'm really looking forward to some more puzzle-type games on the Xbox 360, and I'm also would love to see Settlers of Catan on the 360. They've been talking about it. It's supposed to be coming, and if I could have a pausable version of Settlers of Catan and being able to come downstairs and, like, play that for 15 minutes, well, I would just be in geek heaven. Now, talking about other aspects of Geek Heaven, I've been tweaking some stuff on the website. First of all, there's a new archive. If you go to the homepage at nuketown.com, there'll be the first link now says archive. It's slightly easier to navigate than the old archive. You can browse things by year, you can browse by month, and you can browse by day. And if you click on the month, then you get a list of all the days where something was published. So overall, I think it should be easier to deal with than the old one, which only let you browse by day, and which I know was hard for folks. I'm still trying to figure out a way to make the different content sections easier to view. Ideally, I'd like to be able to have, like, if you looked at book reviews, have just a quick bulleted list or a quick table view of all of the book reviews on one page, rather than having to go through section after section after section of book reviews, which can be kind of awkward and time-consuming, and I don't like it any more than apparently you guys do, because I've received a couple of constructive criticism type emails about that kind of stuff. So I'm looking into it and trying to figure out a way to just make life a little bit easier for me, while at the same time working within the restraints of the content management system Drupal, which is what I'm using to publish the website. Now, on another note, I'm looking to restore the fiction section. I've been getting a steady trickle of people who are interested in stories that had been published on Nuketown back in the day, and my plan was basically to try and restore the section. I'll recontact the authors, make sure it's okay that these stories appear on the net. Because, you know, the fiction section's been off for something like 2 years. And I'm going to get into this more on Radioactive number 42, but I'm hoping to publish some of my own stuff on Nuketown next year, just to kind of satisfy a promise to myself made long, long ago in college. But, like I say, more on that in number 42. Now, as far as Radioactive goes, I've created a page within Library Thing for Radioactive book reviews, which, you know, when I've been looking at Nuketown and how it's kind of evolved over the last year or two that I've been doing Radioactive, a lot of the book reviews that I used to do that would actually appear in print on the site are now appearing within Radioactive, but there's not a really good way to get a feel for what's been reviewed. So what I've done is created this Library Thing entry, which basically lists all of the books that I've reviewed. There's a brief synopsis of my view of the book, what I thought of it, what the plot's about, and then a link to the episode that the book review appeared in. I think there's something like a dozen odd book reviews that are on the site. I think I'll probably add in another section for RPG reviews, since I've done a couple of those as well. And I think overall it's just going to make things a little bit easier. I think I mentioned this before, but I'm not positive, so I'll just mention it again. I have a MySpace page. I know, I'm kind of ambivalent when it comes to MySpace. I'm really not thrilled with it, but you know what? It does bring in the occasional listener to the podcast and the occasional visitor to Nuketown, so it's useful to just kind of have that space up as kind of another frontier for Nuketown. But if you want to friend me, you can go to www.myspace.com/KNewquist. And finally, in terms of, I don't know how the heck I'm going to get this onto Nuketown, but I will figure out a way. I have received a review copy of The Two Towers, The Complete Recordings, which is three discs and more than 3 hours worth of music from The Lord of the Rings, The Two Towers movie. This is huge, and plus it actually has three CDs that have music on them, and it has a fourth DVD with additional content, and it's huge. I mean, I've started listening to this several times with an eye towards reviewing it for the site or reviewing it for the podcast, and there's just so much content. So I think the way I'm going to approach this is multifaceted. I'm going to start off by blogging the soundtrack, talking about the tracks I like, the tracks I don't like, the feelings it evokes, that kind of thing. It's just kind of not quite stream of consciousness, but just talking about it as I'm experiencing it, and then use that to build a more definitive review, because I'm seriously geeking out listening to this stuff, but there's just so much to sit down and listen to. It's really almost too much to take on in one, you know, post or one sitting. So I'm going to start doing that probably today or tomorrow, and I'm looking forward to it. I think it is a really great soundtrack, and it's great to have like this whole experience, but man, there's just so much stuff.
This is the Kingfish,
along with the Vicar
and Super Geek Billy
from the Geek Label Podcast.
Sure, there are other geekish podcasts out there,
but really, who are we kidding?
Do you want your geek news?
Do you want your thoughts shared across the globe?
Looks like you've got mail waiting.
Do you want a chance to win amazingly cool t-shirts?
Well, the game is afoot.
News, information, prizes.
We'll bribe you if we have to.
A look at any and everything from hardcore geek to stealth geek.
And if you're not careful, you may learn something before it's done.
Don't believe me? Then check out this completely random man-on-the-street testimonial.
Hi, this is George Takei. I love listening to the Geek Label Podcast, and you will too.
Get your geek on with the Geek Label Podcast.
Another quality product from Geek Label.
A while back, I mentioned Geek Label and the fact that I ordered some t-shirts from them, and they came last week, which is very, very cool. And I'm actually wearing my Fnord shirt right now, which I had to send my wife the definition of Fnord because she had no idea what it was when she looked at it. And it weirded her out slightly, which, when you think about it, is actually part of the reason why you have the word Fnord, but I had to send her the Wikipedia entry to explain it, since she knows that eventually my parents will want to know what it is and probably ask her instead of me. And it will probably freak out my sister too, so you know, this ends up being one of those weird geek culture things that my family just does not get. But anyway, I just want to say t-shirts are awesome. The other one says, I think it's GM Fear Me, which is just cool, and I cannot wait to wear it. Not this Friday, because I'll be doing the Christmas thing with my family, but next Friday, when I return to the gaming table, it will be fantastic. So overall, gotta say, Geek Label guys, great job on the t-shirts. You know, there's not like this instantaneous turnaround as far as when you get the t-shirts, but it took, I think, 2-3 weeks, something like that, for the t-shirts to get out. But hey, very good quality t-shirts. Look great, look as good in person as they did on the website. In fact, maybe better in person than they did on the website. So major props to the Geek Label folks. Thanks, guys. There's a couple cool things I wanted to talk about in net news this week. The first of which is Second Life. And now, I've talked about Second Life a couple of times on the podcast, and you know, the thing is I haven't really found a lot of cool places to go in Second Life. I know they exist, I've certainly heard about them, and once you find them, everybody seems to love it. But, you know, when you get on and you just kind of wander around in your generic white t-shirt and blue jeans, it's kind of boring. Well, I found a place to go that's actually cool, which would be the Harping Monkey Inn as manifested in Second Life. Now, the Harping Monkey, if that sounds familiar, they are the ones responsible for the Round Table and Misfit Brew podcasts, which are awesome podcasts in and of themselves. And if you've been to the Harping Monkey or if you've listened to the podcast, you know they've kind of got this communal myth geek thing going on where they like to talk about those kinds of things. And you get into some deep conversations about the meaning of myth and how it manifests both in stories and in the real world and that sort of thing. Going to the Harping Monkey, you know, not everyone is necessarily sitting around there talking about myth while you're in Second Life, but it's cool. It's friendly. It feels like a place where you're actually hanging out with people you like, and it's not obviously the equivalent of really hanging out in a bar and having a few beers, but it's probably as close as we're many of us are going to be able to get with folks who happen to be on the other side of the country, at least until the next time Gen Con rolls around. So, very cool. It's an old style kind of medieval exterior building. Inside, it's two stories with an art gallery on the second floor, and actually plans for musical acts. And I think this is where it starts to become really cool because it feels more of a community. It feels less like just say a virtual place like you would have in Warcraft where you know, here's an inn and there's some people there, but there's no real there unless one of your friends happens to be there. With the Harping Monkey Inn, you get there, even if there's no one there, you can just kind of fly up to the second floor. Yes, I fly a lot. I don't know if there's stairs to the second floor, but really, who needs stairs when you can fly? And then you can look at the paintings. You can play, there's a I can't remember the name of it off the top of my head, but basically, Mick of the Harping Monkey has put together a alternative music podcast where, you know, he just got various geeky bands and such and put them into a music stream that you can listen to from within Second Life while you're hanging out in the inn, which was very cool. Now, I got together with some folks for the RPG Podcasters Festivus event. I think there were probably about a dozen of us there. And it was really cool just to hang out. I wasn't able to be as maybe outgoing as I would have liked to because I had Luke sitting on my lap while I was there. But here's the advantage, right, of being able to do this in Second Life is that you can hang out in a bar with a 5-month-old and no one's going to look at you strangely. So I've included a link, yes, a link to the Harping Monkey on Second Life, so you can follow that link from the show notes. I'm not going to try and reproduce it here, but basically you click on the link, it shows you where it is in Second Life via the Second Life website, and then you can choose, if you have the Second Life software installed on your computer, to go and visit that in Second Life. Now, for those of you who haven't played around with it, Second Life basically has two modes. You have the free mode, which is the one I've been using, where you can just log on and go exploring, but the downside to that is you can't own property. You don't have any money in the game. If you have an account, and there's various plans, I think there's more than one plan. I'm not 100% sure on that, but anyway, if you get an account, if you get a paid account, then you get a certain number of Linden dollars every month, which is the currency within the game, and then you can use that to buy stuff. So I gotta say that, you know, hanging out in the inn, I got to see some really cool costumes, some really cool avatar designs, which all just brings me back to Snow Crash and how, you know, Neal Stephenson anticipated all of this and inspired all of this. And wow, it was pretty cool. It felt very 21st century, if I do say so myself. The next thing I wanted to talk about was iStat Pro. Now, this is going to be for the Mac folks out there, and if you're not into the Mac, well, bear with me. It's a systems widget for your Mac that you put into dashboard, and it will display network, memory, disk drive, process, and storage information about your machine. This can be pretty useful. I mean, it's fairly geeky, but it's useful for just being able to get those kind of stats at a blink. You can quickly launch dashboard and see, you know, what your most consuming process is. You can see, you know, what your IP address is. And, you know, if you're a professional web guy like me, that kind of stuff, or even, you know, professional programmer, whatever, that kind of stuff can be useful to have with just a click of a button. So I definitely recommend checking it out. It's at iSlayer.com, and there will be a link directly to it in the show notes. Now, the last thing I want to mention in passing, and I'm going to talk about this more once you have a chance to listen to it, is the Model Makers Podcast, which is a new podcast that you can find at www.themodelmakerspodcast.com, which offers tips and tutorials for wargamers and and model makers, which is just a really, really cool idea for a podcast, and I really look forward to listening to it. I don't do a lot of necessarily wargaming miniature painting myself, but I'm definitely interested in hearing other people talk about techniques and stuff, so that when I do it, on the infrequent days when I do it, I'll have a better idea of ways to go about it. And I like this idea of having this archive of stuff that I can go back to and look through it and say, okay, well, gee, what are some good painting techniques? So I definitely am looking forward to checking out that podcast. It's in the queue, and with any luck, my ancient iPod will allow me to sync up to my Mac again one more time before Christmas, and I'll be able to listen to it at the gym.
Hi there, friend. Welcome to the Dragon's Landing Inn. Come in from the cold and warm yourself by the fire.
Wow, thanks a lot. It's downright cold out there.
If you're looking for something to eat, we've got a feast of ideas and advice for tabletop RPG players over there.
Uh-huh.
And in the back room, we have interviews with gaming industry insiders.
Right.
And out here in the common room, we have lots of good, hearty discussion about all kinds of RPGs and accessories. So, what can I get for you?
One podcast later.
Little mug of beer wouldn't do us any harm. No little mug of beer wouldn't do us any harm.
Visit the Dragon's Landing podcast at www.dragonslanding.com.
That'll about do it for this edition of Nuketown Radioactive. I had planned on doing a book review of A Fire Upon the Deep, which is a science fiction space opera novel by Werner Vange, but alas, just didn't have enough time to get it recorded this week. So I'm hoping, you know, maybe on Sunday I can knock that out as part of Radioactive number 42. Comments, suggestions, feedback, audio feedback, all that good stuff is always welcome, and you can send it to me at nuketown@gmail.com.